Conference Committee on Senate File 3275, et cetera, will come to order. Welcome, everyone. We apologize for the delay. We're still waiting for our final document to come from duplicating, and it's very close. And so we want to get started. I have to start by apologizing for myself being late and take whatever opportunity I have with a room full of people to brag about my son. No, sorry. No, I was at a breakfast with a bunch of kids from across Minnesota, not just my son, my fifth grader, but who received national prizes in French, and the whole program was in French. And so it was quite challenging for people like me. And I just had to say that it gives new meaning to the idea of being smarter than a fifth grader. I don't think I am anymore. So,
Madam Chair, Senator Frederickson.
Very petite. Yes. Yes. We had a petite déjeuner. It was very petite. No. So we are. But we needed some time to prepare everything, and I have to start by acknowledging the incredible work of all of our staff who have been just working tirelessly over the last several days since, I guess, the bills started. You passed it last Thursday on the House floor, and since that time, I know many of them have been working almost around the clock. As you know, we've been working long hours, but when we go home, then they finish the work. And so we really just need to acknowledge their incredible public service and hard work. So let's just do that. So we, as we're waiting for the documents, we had just two items of testimony in mind for today. And why don't we start with one of them, and this relates to the issue in the House language related to the 3M hazardous waste incinerator. We wanted to have some very brief comments from a representative from the city of Cottage Grove and from 3M, and Representative Bingham also. So please come forward if you would. Welcome to the conference committee. Who would like to go first?
Yep.
Senator Anderson, members, I'm Ryan Schrader. I'm the city administrator for the city of Cottage Grove. We're here to support removal of the language that was originally submitted into the bill. Upon an understanding that we'll be able to agree with 3M, as 3M I think will also represent on some air monitoring that allays many of our concerns, as well as some discussion about limits in emissions. We will continue to want to provide input into the process as they look for a permit renewal. We expect that we'll continue to do that, and we'll also provide testimony into the citizens board when we get to that point. But at this point, we're confident that we'll be able to come to an agreement on air monitoring with 3M.
Thank you. Could you say your name again, please, sir?
It's Ryan Schrader, City Administrator, City of Cottage Grove.
Thank you so much, Mr. Schrader. Appreciate your testimony. Mr. Singh?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Just to echo what Mr. Schrader said, we are committed to continuing the conversations. We are in the middle of it, the extra time now rather than meeting the legislative deadline. We have a lot of information we have to gather and putting together something, but we are committed to continue working with the city to try to find some air monitoring program that would work in the community.
Thank you. Representative Bingham.
No, I'm a little angry, so I'm going to just say that the residents of Cottage Grove will go through the public comment portion of the permitting process and express their concerns. I'm sorry. I'm just angry that the governor threatened to veto this and not want to protect my residents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our understanding was that there was an agreement here that there would the sides would move together with a common understanding, and there is an agreement. And with that understanding, we had agreed to drop the provisions from the bill. So it's important that you came to say that publicly, all of you today, and we'll hold you to that. And appreciate the fact that when people sit down and try to work it out, sometimes you can find a solution that benefits everyone. And we'll continue to watch how this develops. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we had our hearing before, I had asked what standards the state was operating under. Were they the old standards that protected adults, or were they the standards that should be in law to protect children? And I was promised, not for me, but for this community, to have that answer to that question, and nobody's brought it to me yet. I expected it from PCA, and it hasn't arrived yet, or health, and it hasn't arrived yet. When will we have that answer for the community?
Mr. Stang.
Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, as I indicated, the standards, from my understanding, it is not as straightforward that those standards were issued as guidelines. I don't believe our permit levels are in accordance to those standards, but where actual emission levels are, we believe we meet those standards.
Representative Wagenius.
It's not the question. The question is, what is the level of standard that the state has? I don't know how I can be more clear about that. We have some old standards. We're working on new ones. For the standards that apply to this community for hazardous waste, are we applying old standards that protect adults, or are we applying standards that protect children? And I think that's important for the community members to have that. So I expect to hear the answer to that. We'll just pursue it. We'll ask staff to help us out. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. And I, for the record, I'm not sure, Mr. Stang, if you identified yourself as...
Oh, I'm sorry. Doug Stang, 3M.
Any further discussion on this issue? Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. While we're waiting, we do have a packet of a stack of amendments. Now, I assume those are those still in amendment form, or are those going to be incorporated in the document?
Madam Chair, those will be in the document.
Okay, so we need to wait.
There's some variation in them, too, so it probably better to wait for the documents.
Sure.
Hopefully they'll be here shortly. At least Articles 1 to 4.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can get started. Mr. Jurofsky.
And Madam Chair, our page and our intern went down to Senate duplicating to get sort of what they have so far so that we'd have something to start with. So that should
That's
be
great.
In a minute.
We appreciate it. Everybody's been working hard to get this ready so that it's in the form that we can pass it, and that'll allow the clock to start ticking more quickly so we can pass this on the floor more quickly. That's the goal.
We could talk about supplanting that, if you like.
Yes.
Great. Representative
Madam
Murphy.
One of the things that I wanted to have a brief discussion about was the question of RIM. RIM is one of the projects that are in Article 1 and is being recommended that we fund almost to $7 million. The House talked about this when we were considering the recommendations from the Heritage Council. And the question came up because of the governor's veto of the money for RIM in the bonding bill, would the $7 million that is in the project recommendations, would that be supplanting? There were people on our committee that thought it was, and there were people on our committee that thought no. Mr. Kilgore, or Dr. Kilgore, testified that in January, they decided on the $7 million, and that was anticipated to be above and beyond the hopeful result of the bonding committee. And so because the project had been voted on before the veto, or had been included in the recommendations before the veto, that it would not be supplanting. And I thought it would be good if we talked about it a little bit, if anyone had any comments to make about it on the record, so it's just not the discussion of the House that ever talked about it.
Senator Chaudhry.
I appreciate the broaching the topic. When we get into the supplanting issues, we get caught into a conundrum of wanting to do the right thing for the program, but also sticking to the tenets of the Constitution. And the constitutional amendment says that this amendment money will be on top of traditional sources of funding. The traditional source of funding for RIM has been bonding. One could surmise that since there's no bonding money for RIM, and this is the only source of money for RIM this year, at least, it could be viewed as an attempt to replace that the source of RIM from bonding with this fund. And I have trouble with that, a lot of trouble with that.
Well, and Senator Chaudhry, you'll remember on the Senate floor, we discussed this issue when we passed the bonding bill, and we had some pretty extensive discussion about, extensive for the Senate, which meant for a few minutes. We talked about the fact that we talked
Thank
about
you for saying that.
That we discussed the issue of supplant and substitution and the constitutional mandate, and there was, I can't remember if there was a motion to take out some of the RIM money or if there was just discussion about it, but there was a dialogue about why so much money for RIM and for some other environmental and conservation programs when we had all this new constitutional money. And the response from myself and others was because of this very issue, that this is traditional funding. We've always done this in the bonding bill, and the advocacy groups did such a good job of really pointing out that traditionally it's been somewhere around 20% of the bonding bill for many years, somewhere in that range, and that we were continuing our traditional sources of funding, and the constitutional money was above and beyond that, and that is what the voters intended. That's what the voters voted for, and that constitutionally we were bound by that, and to keep the faith with the public, we were bound by that. So I guess the legislature, we've done our job in providing the traditional funding, and now as we pass this bill in providing the supplemental additional funding to do above and beyond, which is what the voters chose in this passing the amendment that funds this bill. It's hard when the governor takes actions that contradict that.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Murphy.
And leaving all that federal money on the table.
What a waste. It's a shame. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe if I think Dr. Kilgore is here, if he could just go over kind of the procedure we used. I would note we still have 3 or 4 days left, so we could pass a bonding bill or with RIM, but the days are ticking by. But if Dr. Kilgore could maybe just talk a little bit about the process and the view of the council.
All right. Dr. Kilgore, welcome to the conference committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Mike Kilgore, for the record, the chair of the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. Representative Hansen is correct. As a council, we spent a considerable amount of time from day one, literally, talking about the constitutional provisions, specifically as it relate to providing recommendations for funding in addition to, as opposed to, in replace of traditional sources of funding. The package that we presented to you this January was done in the spirit that Our recommendations were above and beyond what we anticipated to be traditional sources of funding, not only for the WRP RIM program, but for all the other programs that we were recommended for funding. In my transmittal letter to the governor, to the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader, I indicated that intent was front and center in our recommendations. And just, if I may, just read one sentence that really encapsulizes what I, what our intent of the council was. Our allocations were made in the spirit that recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund would be in addition to other sources that have traditionally funded these programs being the recommendations contained in our bill that was forwarded to the Senate and the House.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that testimony. Any other questions? Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, I just might add to that, it's not just RIM where we find, where we're facing this issue. It's also with wildlife management areas and aquatic management areas. So I think we've really, I hate to say watch this issue in the future because it, it just seems a little cursory. But it's very concerning to myself and a lot of other people.
So, Representative Murphy, I really appreciate your raising this issue. I think it, I mean, it's our job to be the watchdogs to make sure that the words of the Constitution are fulfilled. Yes. And the intent of the voters is fulfilled as well. Did you have your hand up, yep. Senator Shutt?
I did. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to say I certainly concur with Senator Chaudhry and Chairman Murphy, Vice Chairman Murphy, that we've got to be constantly vigilant in the next, and especially in these early years, that that supplementing doesn't, supplanting doesn't take the place of what we already have in government.
Thank you for raising that issue. And we'll stay tuned, I guess, and continue to see what how this develops. Thank you. All right. I think is staff prepared to just go through each article? And then I would like to finish each article as we go, just to keep on that topic. And so we'll start with Article 1, the Outdoor Heritage article, and take amendments on that article, and then we'll move on to the next article and discuss it and amend it as needed.
Madam Chair,
did you want,
if you want me to just, and Ms. Taylor can help me go through this. Basically, it's, you know, the House and the Senate on the appropriations were the same. There was just some there were just a few language issues within this. So if you look at pages 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, it basically is the House language on these 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The one difference is that the additional removal of land is taken out because we have that section at the end that provides for it, so we don't need to have it in twice. There were three places where the House had that, but otherwise all the in-writing stuff, and we took out the or successor, so it's basically the House except for that. There is one thing, Madam Chair. The amendment didn't quite get rid of some language on page 12, so if you could, somebody could move an amendment to this on 12.22 to 12.24, that sentence for projects funded. There was an agreement on the 15% and the 10, and so we really don't need that language anymore. So somebody could just make that motion to...
Mr. Jurofsky.
Madam Chair, sorry to interrupt. I'm informed that we have more copies of Article 2 and 3 than of Article 1, enough for the public. And I don't know if it would cause any problems if we started with either 2 or 3, but we'd be able to pass those out to the public.
So we don't have enough
We don't have enough of 1 yet. We will. We will. Yeah, but we will.
All right. I think sorry that makes about sense. That. We do need the public to be able to follow along with this. So, all right. Let's, so do they have Articles 2? Which ones are people grabbing right now? 3? What about 2? That's clean water.
There's 2.
Is it? No. Yeah, Article 2 is clean water. Article 3, general.
There's 2 and 3.
2 and 3 are out there? All right. We'll wait till everybody's got one and sits down, and then we'll go to Article 2. Whatever works. Yeah. Yeah. we have a spreadsheet copied that we're working off of? Maybe he's making changes too.
Where is Dan?
When I drink, it's bad.
Let's do the spreadsheet when it gets here. All right, should we start on Article 2? Okay, Representative Hansen, should we have it explained first?
I could move it to get it out.
Sure, that's fine.
I would move Article 2.
All right, very good. Representative Hansen has moved adoption of Article 2. Mr. Knopf, do you want to start?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Article 2, if you look at Section 1, that was the Senate provision on extending the Metropolitan Area Water Supply Advisory Committee. What this does is it extends it, but also it adds four counties. So we're dealing now with the 11-county metropolitan area for this advisory committee.
And you can, let me just comment that this was a compromise with the House that reflects that our new groundwater monitoring plan is an 11-county program. So it was a good suggestion, I thought, from the House.
And Madam Chair, just to point out, too, it was also in this House's first offer.
Madam Chair.
Representative Murphy.
May I just explain how it did this?
Yes.
I should have done that before. I'm
and I
sorry.
Meant to do that.
The House gave the first offer. The Senate responded. Then the House said we would have a second offer for Saturday. And we went back and we drew one up. But we thought that it wouldn't provide very much discussion. And so, with the consent of Senator Anderson, we went forth and had a little working group round-robining things and meeting out of. Most of the work was done down in room G21, and the staff were able to all be present and take notes and so forth, and discussions took place, and people were able to be consulted on those discussions when there was questions and when we needed additional information and so forth. And so this is the sum total of the working groups as they came to agreement on each issue.
And I appreciate that, Representative Murphy, and just remind everyone that this is recommendations that came from discussions among members. Nothing is final until it's voted on in public and discussed in public. So that's why we're here today, to do our official work. All right. Go ahead, please, Mr. Knopf.
And Madam Chair, Section 2 is the House had some extent, basically adding some appropriations to last year's appropriation to out of the Clean Water Fund. What this does is it adds two pieces. You can see the total's been changed. And if you look on page 5, you can see where actually, I think there's, it's all on page 5. Madam Chair, if you look at 5.16 to 5.19, you see there's money added. And that's to take care of the, on 5.30 to 5.33, both sides had the $145,000, but now there'll be additional money to pay for that. And then, Madam Chair, on the bottom of page 5 is the additional $200,000 for the Lower St. Louis River, and that's the additional. What would that be? $345,000 in there. And then there's also some change on the top of page 6. That was from the House bill on the match. And then, Madam Chair, there's also the LIDAR on page 8. Section 3 is the LIDAR extension. And then you'll see in Section 4, 5, and 6, these are the appropriations. Both sides had the appropriations in Section 4, except that's now reduced to $4 million. But there is if you look on 9.11 to 9.12, you'll see that there will be a base in the next biennium of $1 million for this, but it will not carry forward as a base item, but it's a one-year addition to the base in fiscal year 2012. And then There's a on section 5, there's a $400,000 appropriation to the Met Council for their water supply planning activities. This also now includes some reporting requirements starting on 9.20. And again, the Senate had $5 million for this going into conference. Excuse me, $500,000 went into conference. And then, Madam Chair, you'll see the appropriations on, in section 6. There's the micro grants pilot program. That was the Senate had a little more specific language. This is the appropriation to be more general. And then the House had three projects from last year to appropriate some additional money for those. You'll see those in paragraph B. There's $400,000 for that. In C, $400,000 for the watershed district grants. And then $300,000 in paragraph D. This is on page 10. And then also paragraph E, the House had some additional flexibility language for Bowser. And this is also carried in Article 2. And that is Article 2, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Knopf. And just a couple of comments I'd like to make about this. As you can see, we agreed to much of the House's additional spending, not in its entirety, but a good portion of it. And I think you made a good case about those Bowser programs that were oversubscribed and very worthy and very important, that we have a lot of work to do there. We agreed to bump the $1 million of the groundwater monitoring into the next biennium, and we intend that base amount will be funded in 2012. And we figure that's plenty of money to get it started for the remainder of this biennium, and that allowed us to have the flexibility to add some more spending in this biennium and to maintain a reasonable reserve. And I also wanted to comment the micro grant program. That's a new term. We had started with a Star Lake grant program, and we've modified this so that the Star Lakes Board, as well as some other nonprofit organizations, would be eligible to seek funding to grant out very small grants to lake associations or interested lakeshore owners who want to do some work on their lakes, very small, you know, several couple thousand dollar grants. And so we thought there'd be a big demand for this across the state. Anything else you want to say? Okay. All right. Any further discussion? We will have the spreadsheet later, but I guess we'll just put all the numbers together there. We can do that at the end. And here it is. Good timing. Great. So are there any other questions about Article 2, which has been moved by Representative Hansen? Any further discussion? Hearing none. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion fails. All right. Should we do Article 3 next?
Madam Chair, I don't know if somebody in the House wants to do this.
Madam Chair, on Article 3, you'll see in...
Would someone like to move this? We'll stay with the same procedure.
I'll move Article 3.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, the first section is a clarification to existing statutes that codifies that the auditor is allowed to, or each of the funds reimburses the auditor for audit activities. These are financial audits. Section 2 is deleting some existing language in law regarding to logos. You'll note that we have several sections which update the logos for these funds. And I'm going to get to that when I get to the end of these sections, but you'll also see that that's in Section 3, and that's in Section 5. And the operative language is on page 4 in Section 5. And what it does is it gives responsibility for completion of the logo to the Board of the Arts. They have to complete the logo contest by September 1, 2010 in consultation with the Department of Natural Resources. If after September 15th they have not selected a logo design, then responsibility for the logo moves to the Department of Natural Resources. I'm going to take a quick step back to page 3 because I skipped over section 4 on page 3. What this does is amend the existing law regarding the committee guide, the legislative guide, and assigns this task to the House of Representatives. On page 4, Section 6 is a funds carryover language, which allows funds that are not spent in the first year for all the different funds to carry into the second year. Page 4, Section 7, is a parks provision that was in the House language, and this allows the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board to acquire the Shearer Brothers Lumberyard for a metropolitan area regional park, and allows them may allocate future appropriations to the board from the Parks and Trails Fund. Section 8 is a carry forward section. This clarifies that funds held by the legislative auditor and unspent may carry forward from one biennium to the next, and that these carry forward funds may be used to conduct financial audits related to the dedicated funds. Section 9 is a repealer of the legislative 25-year plan, which had been contained in House language, and that would be Article 3.
It's here.
Thank you. And just a comment about this section, this article, reminder that last year's law requires the auditor to do financial audits of all of the funds, and this just makes clear that they have the authority to pay for those audits, and that that money will come out of the general fund for the remainder of this biennium. So this would kick in the next biennium, I believe, this charge back to the funds under current law. And the other thing is, on the logo, we had, this is a revision of last year's legislation where we wanted to make sure that the public was, we're all about transparency and accountability for these funds. And part of that was to identify when they're spent so the public knows where that money is going. And we thought it was very important to have one uniform logo that will be used, and that hasn't happened yet. So we wanted to reinforce that needs to happen quickly, and so we put some deadlines in there. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, I just would be remiss if I didn't express my surprise that this hadn't been worked on yet. This was a huge historical event in Minnesota. The arts were included and received permanent funding in our Constitution for the first time. And the statute was clear. And so I'm surprised that we needed to put a deadline in for the Arts Board to actually accomplish this task. I thought this would have been the first thing that they would have done. And when we inquired just yesterday or the day before as to the status, their response was simply soon. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I was really surprised by this.
Senator Chaudhry, I agree with you, and I really appreciate the House bringing this issue up. It was important to take some action on it, so I hope the message is loud and clear.
So do I, Madam Chair.
I think I've been asked for on Section 7 on page 4, there's, I believe, some technical words that should be added if members of the conference committee are amenable to that. And it would just say on line 4.18, after acquire, insert all or part of. Senator Saxhog makes that motion. Any discussion on that? On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion fails. Thank you. Any other discussion on Article 3? All right. Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor. Oh, Senator Chaudhry.
Oh, never mind.
Separate article. All right, on the motion to adopt Article 3, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. I think we can go back to Article 1 now. Have copies been given to the public yet? We do have those copies. Let's make sure those are handed out. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we got to that.
We did mm-hmm. that. So,
yeah. 2 and 3 are.
You have to move it.
All right, let's go through this one, please. Mr. Knopf, do you want to start?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't think we need to go back to page one. That was purely technical. I
described that earlier. So I think if you look at page 12, when we left off, I was asking if somebody could move an amendment on 12.22 to 12.24 to remove that sentence.
All right. Would someone like to move Article 1?
I'll move that.
Senator Frederickson moves adoption of Article 1.
Madam Chair.
To put it in front of us. Representative Morgan.
I'll move the amendment suggested by Senate Counsel.
All right. And that would be line 12.22 after the period.
Mm-hmm.
The sentence starting with four projects and the remainder of that sentence through 12.24.
That's the first thing you have to change.
On the motion, is anyone clear? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Go ahead, Mr. Knopf.
And Madam Chair, otherwise that paragraph is the same as it was in the House as far as with the priority criteria. And then, Madam Chair, you'll see the language on the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the appropriation on the top of page 14. That's basically the House language.
Mr. Knopf, can you just explain briefly the matching requirements as put in here?
The matching requirements.
Well, I can just do that. I just want to point out that what we've revised, the match that's required
that's
as a compromise.
Madam Chair, yes, that's a good idea. The compromise is that if you look at 12.16 to 12.22, you'll see that the program should require a match of at least 10% from non-state sources for grants of $100,000 or less, and a match of at least 15% from non-state sources for grants of over $100,000. Up to one-third of the match may be from in-kind resources. So basically, if you're under $100,000, it's 15%, but one-third of that, under $100,000, you're 10%, but one-third of that can be in-kind. If you're over $100,000, then it's 15%, and one-third of that can be from in-kind sources.
In-kind for the small ones.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, please, Mr. Kimmel.
If there are no questions on it, I'll move on. You'll see that on the bottom page 13, the administration and other, that's the contract management and the Legislative Coordinating Commission. This is the language that was from the Senate side, although there's a piece that's missing, but we'll get to that later. And then that's with the site visit exception that was on the Senate side. Subdivision 7 is availability of appropriations. That was basically the same on both. Well, the House did have extended some of the restoration appropriations a bit longer, and so that's in here. The accomplishment plans was the same. The project requirements are basically the same, except, of course, there was some additional language, and that I think if you go 16 and 17 were in both sides. If you go to somebody, help me out.
Page 16, lines 5 through line 11. Those were House language provisions, and what we did is we amended those to clarify, especially on clause 5.
Thank you. Madam Chair, page 17. Basically the same, and then page 18, we've got that these were very much the same, and basically it continues on 18. So 18 and 19, we were basically the same on those pages, and then on page 20, this is where there were some differences, and what this does, the House had a preliminary approval by the Council. What this does, if you look, this is basically the Senate language in Subdivision 13, except if you look on page 20.17 to 20.22, and you see that the Council must notify the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over the Outdoor Heritage Fund at least 15 business days before approval under this paragraph, so that there's some notification before they they would approve property being transferred or conveyed that was funded with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And then, Madam Chair, so the rest of that is the Senate language, and then on page R21, subdivision 14, the real property interest report, that was the same on both sides. On page 22, we removed or successor throughout from the Senate language, which was on the Senate side, and we picked up the House provision in subdivision 15 on successor organizations. And then, Madam Chair, that carries through to the top of page 23. And then, Madam Chair, the House had the auditor doing restoration audits. What this is a compromise on restoration evaluation. And what it does is it creates in each of the funds in the you'll see pretty much identical language on how a technical evaluation panel or TEP panel, as they're referred, is going to be created. This does not none of these start until July 1 of 2011, but for each of the three outdoor funds from the legacy amendment, they will have a TEP panel that will be created. Now, if you look, there are a number of people that will be on this. I think it can be five, but they can add additional local governments or federal officials to these panels to review and to basically evaluate restorations. And I think and then they'll provide a report back. And the important thing is on 23.29, I'll just talk about the one in the parks, and basically you can look at the other three. They're pretty much identical except for some tweaks based because of the type of property we're talking about. You'll see that on 23.30 to 23.31 that for each of the funds it says up to 0.1% of the forecasted receipts from the Parks and Trip may be used for restoration evaluations under this section. Now, this does not provide the appropriation. This just provides a cap on what can be used. The money will still need to be appropriated. If you're going to look at outdoor heritage funds, you would appropriate money next year from the Outdoor Heritage Fund to look at those restorations. Same with the parks and trails, and same with the clean water. I just want to make sure people were very clear about that. We'll see sections later for the Outdoor Heritage and the clean water fund. But I just wanted to make sure we describe this one carefully, and then we can go over that. And then, Madam Chair, you'll see in section on 24 and 25, there's a section dealing with council recommendations. And you look at the new language is on 25.12 to 25.16. I think there'll be some more discussion about that later, Madam Chair. And then in lieu of the Senate's language on page 25, section 5, in lieu of the Senate's language in the uncodified portion for the site visits, what this does is it provides a kind of a more boundaries to how that can be. It really tightens down the language, but then puts it in their statute. You can read their open meeting statute. But what paragraph B says is, because you know the Senate had just travel to and from site visits, what this does is it really tightens it down to make sure that it's travel to and from scheduled and publicly noticed site visits. So the public will know about these visits ahead of time. It can't be this provision couldn't be used for other site visits. And then it also it explicitly states on 25.26 to 25.27 that any decision or agreement to make a decision during travel is a violation of paragraph A, so that it's very clear to the members that it would be a violation to make any kind of decision. So this is a tightened down version of what the Senate carried in the conference committee. And then, Madam Chair, on the top of page 26. This is a provision that was brought to the attention of conference committee members, some concerns over somebody acquiring a parcel with the idea of transferring it to the state eventually, but making some money off it in the meantime. What this does is make sure that any money that's made or that off that land, all revenues that are generated from activities between the time that the party acquires the land and it gets transferred to the state, that all of those costs and revenues are recognized. And then, Madam Chair, Section 7, there was a provision in the House side on lands in public domain. What this does is creates, it carries the House language on 20.12 to 20.15, but allows for the purchase, as long as it creates additional direct benefit to protect, restore, or enhance the state's wetlands, prairies, forests, or habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. And two, the purchase is approved by an affirmative vote of at least 9 members of the council. It also has a provision that at least 15 business days prior to a decision under the subdivision, the council shall submit the plan decision item to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. The plan decision item takes effect 15 business days after it is submitted by the council. And then this is effective for projects proposed after July 1 of 2010 to make sure we're not going backwards on this. And then Section 8 is the restoration evaluations for the Outdoor Heritage Fund. I won't go into detail on this. It's basically identical except for some minor tweaks because of the type of land. Section 9 is the restoration evaluations for the Clean Water Fund. And again, I won't go through a lot of detail on this. You can read it. I went through some fairly significant detail in the Parks and Trails one. And then, Madam Chair, Section 10, land management recommendations. Remember, the House had a provision on this, and what this does, it's a modified version of that House provision. I think the House had the council doing this, and it was thought that it would be more appropriate to have the state agencies look at this on methods to accomplish reasonable management, care, restoration, and protection of land acquired in fee title or easement. So basically, they're supposed to report that back by January 15th of 2011. And Madam Chair, that is the contents of Article
1.
1. Three. Excuse me, 1. 1.
All right. Representative Morgan.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, okay. That was a 1. Yeah, got it. All right. Discussion on Article 1. Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair. Article
I only have
1 passed out of the House of Representatives, 99, vote strong. The discussion about the definitions protect, enhance, restore had a strong vote for the definitions that were worked out at a meeting with the speaker, and that was called by my understanding, it was called by some sportsmen groups, but the specific name that I heard was Don McMillan, the president of Mohawk. And we had a meeting in the speaker's office and our caucus meeting room on the second floor of the Capitol in the sunshine of the day last Thursday, I think it was, or Wednesday, Thursday. They all meld together. But we had a very strong vote on the definitions that are contained therein. And I know that the definitions have been a strong subject of many conversations in the last year and a half. The House definitions, the Senate definitions, well, never Senate definitions, but 5 senators and 5 House people signed the conference committee bill that changed the definitions from the House definitions to Chapter 172. Those definitions weren't widely accepted and were challenged on many occasions. And in the conversations, the people spoke out and said, the words of the Constitution are enough. That's what we voted on. We voted on the words in the Constitution. And so you should take our word and our trust in you delivering the words of the Constitution in the projects, and you don't need other words. And that was reiterated last Saturday by people that testified before us again. And we had several people testify that protect was not limited to acquisition, that there were other things that could be included in protect, and that we probably shouldn't try to write them in either. But for various projects and reviews and in the RFPs, they should go by a case-by-case basis. One other thing that came up that we heard several times was that the definitions hadn't been written by scientists. In our discussions in the House, we considered, we had 7 options to come to the conference committee with. Before the vote on of 110 for the definitions that were created last week. But the point that I heard was that House conferees, Senate conferees, sports people conferees, we probably shouldn't be writing the definitions. And if there were any definitions written, they should be done by more experienced people with scientific educations that I don't have. And so, Madam Chair, I have an amendment 837 to present. And that can be passed out.
Thank you very much, Representative Murphy. As we pass out the amendment, I'm sure we'll have some discussion before we take a vote on this. And I'd like to ask Dr. Kilgore to come back, if he would, and just address us briefly about, on behalf of the council, on this issue. We should take a pause while the public receives copies of this. Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair.
you want to explain it? Or?
It speaks for itself. But while we're waiting for the public, I would like to say that I also, in Article 1, had some notes. There are 3 projects in Article 1 that I just want to comment on. They're not in the amendment. They were never intended to be in the amendment. But in our review of, I just wanted to put them on the record. In our review of the projects in the committee process, one of the things that came up that I don't know if it, in my opinion as I read, I don't know if it rises to what protect, enhance, and restore. The words from the Constitution, if that really meets all the terms that it should have in the Constitution and in the project. And that was the Cass County land acquisition. I don't understand it enough. It's in the midst of all kinds of public land, and so I don't see how it is more unique than any of the other land around it. The other project that raised the little flag with me was the wild management area of the Little Nicosippi River Project, wildlife management project. And the third one was an action by the council that they took where they didn't follow the ranking order, and the Lower Mississippi River Habitat Restoration Project jumped higher. And I think that the public might need more explanation about how these three projects rose to the top for the projects that are in here. But I'm not making any recommendation that anything happens to those three projects except that we pass them. But I think we need a little more explanation either today or at a later time. But, Madam Chair, the amendment A37 is before us, and essentially what it does is repeal, enhance, protect, restore definitions from 172, and it also asks the council to not use them either. Not use the council definitions.
All right, thank you, Representative Murphy. Dr. Kilgore.
Madam Chair and members of the committee. Madam Chair and members of the House, I want to applaud you for offering this amendment. For the first year and a half, this obviously has been a very big red herring in our process, for better or for worse. This amendment will move the focus back to the work that the voters intended, which is to look at habitat on the ground and in the water. I support the amendment. I think it will, again, move us back to the focus that was originally and is still the intention of this body, which is to focus on the Constitution, the constitutional provisions regarding what is an allowable use of the fund, and as the voters wanted, to make the investments in habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. So, Madam Chair and members, I support this amendment.
And Representative Murphy and Dr. Kilgore, I think this is really important progress that we're making, and I really appreciate the House proposing this as a compromise. Representative Murphy and Dr. Kilgore, you both mentioned the sort of these definitions have taken on a life of their own and have shown us, as you said, Representative Murphy, how difficult it is to arrive at words that everyone can agree on that are perfect. And I think everybody has tried to do that with the very best of intentions, but I personally don't think any of the definitions, whether the ones in law or the ones the council has, are exactly right. You know, they've got a lot of good in them, but I don't know that any of them are exactly right. And it kind of reminds us that the Constitution really, those really are the words that we need to all follow. And I think everyone agrees that that's the bright line. That's the document that we really should be looking to, and we'll use our very best judgment to interpret it. And so I think this is very helpful. We'll move us forward in a way that is very positive, and hopefully all, you know, what's really disturbed me about some of the discussion on this is the idea that we don't all share the same values and the same goals, and I think we all do. We have, you know, all of us that are on this conference committee, that are on these committees, that have worked in this area, believe so strongly in the mission that we have, which is to, you know, spend these dollars wisely and to respect the will of the public and to do our very, very best to use those dollars to protect our state's resources and preserve them for future generations. I think we all share that, and somehow that has gotten lost in this discussion. And I think this will allow us to move forward together in a very, very positive way. So I appreciate the House amendment, and I also support it quite strongly. Any other comments or discussion? Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks. Just a kind of a technical question for Mr. Knopf or whoever can answer on the actual repealer. The 84.02A subdivisions 4, which, could you explain the technical aspect of those subdivisions?
Mr. Knopf?
Oh, Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry. Basically, what you're seeing repealed, the section 3.3006, that's the provision that was adopted last year that would that provided a cross-reference to those definitions and applied it to the legacy funds. And then 84.02, subdivisions 4A and 6A and 6B, those are the definitions of restore, protect, and enhance that were adopted last year.
Another question: does the rest of 84.02 apply to the council's work?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, no. The only link to those definitions that are being repealed was in 3.3006. That's being repealed, and even under that, it was only those definitions that were cross-referenced. It was not none of the prairie, native prairie, or grassland definitions were cross. Those never did apply to the council. It's only these definitions that were applied, and basically by removing 3.3006, even if they did, any cross reference is gone.
Good, thanks. All right, Senator Saxon.
Madam Chair, I move the amendment.
I think Representative Murphy already moved it, but okay. Thank you.
That's okay.
The 837 amendment is in front of us. Thank you very much, Dr. Kilgore. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And I'll let the record should reflect that was unanimous vote, as have all our other votes been. So far, so good. All right, I think, is there any further discussion on Article 1? Hearing none, Senator Fredrickson had moved adoption of Article 1 as amended. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, I think we'll move on to Article 4. Is next, correct? Who wants to go through that? Mr. Knopf?
Chair, I can get started. If anyone wants to help me out, that'd be fine. Madam Chair, the first Article 4, most of these sections were in both bills. I'll try to point out where the slight variation, and if I missed something, if somebody could help me out, I'd appreciate it. Section 1 was in both sides. Section 2 was in both sides. Section 3, Section 4. We're in both sides. Section 5, this is the House provision on joint applications for the utility permits, and that was a House only, but the Senate agreed to that. Actually, I think it was in the Senate's first offer. Section 6 is a modified version of the House language. The only modification is really on the permit fees. It was determined by the department that this would keep them whole as far as the financing, and it also basically says that the fees for public lands the work that they do costs a little bit more. It recognizes that. So the public water crossing is increased by $250, and the land fee is decreased by $1,500. So it's basically a one-third reduction in the public lands crossing fee. And then, Madam Chair, you'll see that there was the language on 4.14 to 4.18 that was carried in the House side. Section 7 is the Senate language on the off-highway vehicle seasonal restrictions that keeps the current law provision but just adds the new provision. But also we did pick up, and that was in the Senate's first offer, all the effective dates from the House side. Section 8, this is there are a number of provisions dealing with allowing vehicles that are owned by an Indian tribal government to be exempt. And it was in the House bill. It was the Senate passed it in a separate bill, but they were identical except for one effective date, and we'll get to that later. So I won't spend too much time on Section 8. And Section 9, this was in both sides except for the effective date on the House side. Section 10 was in again, that's that same issue with the exemption. Section 11 was on both sides. Section 12 was in both sides. Section 14, again, this is the one on the exemption that I discussed earlier. Section 15 and 16 were in both sides. Section 17, another exemption. that both sides have passed. Section 18 was in both sides. Section 19 was in both sides. Section 20 was in both sides. Section 21 was in both sides, but it has the effective date that the House carried. Section 22 was in both sides. Section 23 was in both sides. Section 24 was in both sides, but carries the House effective date. Section 25, this was in the House provision, the House language, but it's been modified. It was the Senate, the Senate's first offer on this, discussed that about basically leaving out the, if you look on 14.8 to 14.9, marine sanitary systems and portable bait containers are excluded. So it as the Senate proposed in its offer, it does remove the portable bait containers. But there is also now going to be a biennial report required from the DNR. And basically, the report will advise the legislature on additional measures to protect state water resources from human transport of invasive species. So that's an additional item. Because of the bait bucket was removed, they need to keep recommending that and other things that would keep Minnesota water resources protected from the human transport of invasive species. Section 26, that was from the House language, and it comports now with Section 25, again, as was stated in the Senate offer. The Section 27 was a compromise over the name of the trail. The Senate had Becky Laurie Trail, and what this does is name it the Matthew Laurie Trail. Madam Chair, I don't know if anybody wanted to comment on that. But,
well, just for people to know, Matthew Laurie is former Senator Laurie's son who was killed in Iraq. We all thought that was a very, very good memorial idea. So thank you.
And Madam Chair, Section 28 is the House language on the trail. They pick up that missing segment from this law for the Munger Trail. Section 29 is, again, it's a modified version of what the Senate offered. Basically, it limits the appropriation for this section into the working State Parks Working Capital Account to $25,000 per fiscal year. The money will still go into the working capital account, but if they're getting very ambitious and they need to do, and there's additional money in that would have to be appropriated by direct appropriation, or this would have to be amended in the future. Section 30 is the House provision on the daily park permit. The Senate had annual permits for the any service level disability. Section 31 was in both sides. Section 32 was in both sides. Section 33 is a modified version of the Senate and House language. It doesn't have the requirement that they have to report when they're taking a school group on an activity. But it does include that exemption that was in both sides. And then also it has the additional Senate language on the top of page 18, paragraph C and D, that allows for if somebody's on leave from being overseas or outside the state anyways, or if they're after they've been discharged for 24 months. It's comparable to what we do in the game and fish laws. I was in the Senate side. Section 34, the ski pass was on both sides for the increase. Section 35 on the disposition, this is the House language on the disposition of the receipts. Section 36 is the House language, but it was also there's also some language in here to clarify. The House had accepted, otherwise the language was identical in this section, but on 19.14, the House had the accept forest roads, and this clarifies that it's also includes the right-of-ways, the rights-of-way, excuse me, of those forest roads. And then page 20, that was the same. Section 37 was the same on both sides. Section 38, that's again that exemption. This is the watercraft one. The difference between the House and Senate was in the effective date on 21.29 to 21.32. This is the Senate effective date. What basically it says is that once they get approval, this becomes effective after the notice is published. That the House just had it when it's approved. So this would mean that they have to notify in the state register that they received that approval. Section 39 This was the House's rowing team members and personal flotation devices. This is, as stated in the Senate's offer, this just wants to make, this just clarifies that it needs to be sanctioned by an academic or nonprofit entity. But also, there was some concern by the DNR. So if you look at 22.6, there's a sentence in there that says the requirement for a chase boat does not apply on waters where it is preempted by federal regulations. That's just to clarify that. Section 40, this is the Senate language on the general permit for burning. There were just some minor differences between the two sides, and this just picks up. There were just some slight language differences that were mostly technical, but the Senate thought it would be better to include its language here. Section 41 was the same on both sides. Section 42 was the same on both sides. Section 43, this is the House provision on leases. The difference here, and it was mentioned in the Senate offer, on 24.32, the House is going up to 50 years, and because of concerns over a constitutional provision, this was reduced to 21 years. So we're going from 10 to 21 instead of 10 to 50 years on those leases. And, Madam Chair, Section 44 was the same on both sides. Section 45, this is the House language on the intermediate auction sales. The Senate had language on it, but the House had some additional language. If you look on 25.24 to 25.25, that was the additional language in the House. And then also the House had some additional language on the bottom about bidders and whether bidders are eligible or not. The House had actually tightened that down and provided more clarification and clarity to that. So this is included. Is there also a retroactive effective date that was in the House side on line 26.6? Section 46 was the same on both sides. Section 47, this is the Beaver provision from the House, or excuse me, from the Senate side, and that is included as it was in the Senate bill. Section 48 was a provision in the House side on Basin Watershed Management Policy, and that's included here. Section 49 was on both sides. Section 50 is a different provision. The House had a provision dealing with the Star Lake Board and reporting. What this does now is it adds it to the statute for the Star Lake Board that they, any decisions of the Star Lake regarding criteria used to designate a Star Lake or River as a Minnesota Star Lake or Minnesota Star River, as well as a decision to award grants, are subject to the review and approval of the Board of Water and Soil Resources. This puts some more boundaries on what the Star Lake Board can do, and make sure that we have a state agency that they're checking in with before they do any of these things. Section 51, the public waters inventory, that was the same on both sides. Section 52 was the same on both sides. Those are purely technical changes. Section 53 was the same on both sides. Section 54 was the same. Those are the DNR recommended updates. Section 55, the both sides had this groundwater appropriation language, but the House had tightened up some things and provided some more clarity to it. So this picks up the House provision in Section 55. Section 56 is from both sides. Section 57 is again from both sides. These were department recommended provisions. Section 59 is from both sides. Section 60 was the Senate provision on the aquatic plant management permits, and that is picked up here exactly as the Senate had it. Section 61 was the same on both sides except for a technical title. I think the House had the title better. So it's from the House side on Section 61. Section 62 is a House provision on the subsurface sewage treatment systems implementation and enforcement task force. The Senate did not have that, but it's picked up as the House had it. Section 63 is a modified version of the House provision on environmental assessment. It does not include the 30-day or the 30-day period where the House had changed it to 30 business days. That's not in here. But the other provisions that were in this section as part of the House, you'll see the new language on page 36, and it's that new paragraph G, providing the kind of streamlining for the time periods. Section 64, this was in the House language. It's the customized EAW forms. That was adopted as it was from the House. Section 65, both sides of the non-game wildlife checkoff, and Section 66, the non-game wildlife checkoff. Section 67, this was the Senate language on fixing an appropriation from that was passed by the legislature earlier this year, the first appropriation bill.
Mr. Mueller explained that when we were going through the walkthrough. Section 68 is a modified version of the school trust land study. The House had two studies. This combines them into one section, and you'll see that the first study is taken as is, except that the report now will also have to go to the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee. And the second provision is a modified version of the House language that they had in a separate report. But basically, it says that if you look on 40.26 to 40.28, I think you'll see the important language here, that they're supposed to report on the advantages and disadvantages of having a funding mechanism for compensating the permanent school fund for private and public use of school trust lands. Section 69 is a modified version of the House Coon Rapids Dam Commission. That was explained in the Senate's first offer, basically where to beef it up to two members of the Senate. Also to get along with two members of the House of Representatives, and then having the appropriate appointing authority of the subcommittee on committees of the Committee of Rules and Administration. Otherwise, that language is as it was in the House bill. Section 70 is a modified version of the Senate language for the I'll just call it SSTS, ordinance adoption delay. And what that does is it basically takes the Senate language, except it adds the sentence on 4.28, 42.8, by April 4th, 2000, the PCA shall adopt the final rule amendments to the February 4th, 2008 SSTS rules. So what this does is it's a compromise. The House had 10 months after the final rules are adopted. We keep the Senate date, but we make sure that the final rule amendments are adopted 10 months prior to that date. So, and then the Senate report is included in paragraph B. Section 71 is the House provision on the long-range budget analysis. The only difference was the date on 43.21 to 43.22, and so that's the House provision. Section 72 is the Senate Wind Energy Systems on State and Lands report. Section 73, this is kind of a combination of the two. It basically keeps us a one-time appropriation as the Senate has. So paragraph A is basically the Senate language. Paragraph B is a report that was in the House language, and so it includes the report language, except it moved it up to this coming January rather than the 1-2-3 or year and a half out. Section 74, both sides had appropriations for the water trails. That's in here. Section 75, that's the appropriation for the Moose Trail from the ATV account. That was in the Senate language. Section 76, both sides had that. Appropriation is carried here. Section 77 of the Parks and Trails appropriations from the lottery in lieu, was in the Senate language. The House had agreed to that in their first offer. Section 78 on the Cannon River, it does include that language. There was just a technical change at the end of the last sentence. There were some words dropped that the Senate thought were a little confusing. Section 79 is from the Senate language. There were just some slight technical differences in the right. Both sides had it, but slight technical differences between the House and the Senate, and that's carried here. Section 80, these are the repealers. Both sides had the repealers of 90.172 and the 103G repealers. The Senate had the Beaver Dam repealer in 97B.665. Subdivision 1, so that's included. And the House had the repealer in paragraph B. That was the lease provision from last session. What we're doing is that the lease provision that I talked about earlier is going to be in place of that, so that's being repealed in paragraph B. And, Madam Chair, that is Article 4.
Madam Chair. Representative Murphy. 27.
On page 27, line 20, I move removal of the word basin.
Is that just kind of redundant, or?
Yes.
Representative Wagenius.
Actually, the amendment, when it was originally drafted, was just basin language, but this was includes groundwater, and so somebody looking at the title might not understand that it includes groundwater.
I should mention that.
Any discussion from the Senate side? All right. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, I want to be very clear, too, that what's not included here is both sides had a solid waste rule provision. It's not included at this point in time. There was
Representative Wagenius.
Madam Chair, on page 45, line 14, we talked about the refuge management pilot project, and I believe I had heard members suggest that it would be best that this would be done by written agreement, and I think that just maybe escaped us in our drafting.
Where are you, Representative Wagenius? Where are you?
Page 45, line 14. This was a refuge management pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had, I think, in discussions, and I'm just putting this out here because maybe my understanding wasn't correct, that folks thought that it'd be better to say that the there'd be a written agreement between a canoe and inner tube rental establishment and the DNR. And if that is correct, we should put it in. If I'm incorrect, I stand incorrect.
It'd be okay.
It's up to her. I mean,
yeah, why don't you go and come right back? You can go, too.
There's a vote. The board is open on the Senate floor for a vote that I know members want to vote in. So we're just going to take turns running up there so we don't have to, so we can keep mm-hmm. working.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the language?
I don't. I just picked it up, and I was wondering if the board is open and we're running up, if you would agree to put in.
I don't have any objection to that. I know we had discussed that. I don't think anyone would object to it.
Perhaps council could come up with something very quickly while people
Ms. Taylor.
Good suggestion.
One possibility would be on line 45.17 after river, insert under a written agreement between the establishment and the Commissioner of Natural Resources.
That's that would work.
All right. Any discussion on that? Representative Wagenius moves that language. Mr. Knopf?
Madam Chair, I think it's fine. I think that does what we intended to do.
It's really fine when you have a quorum. Someone objects.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Senator Frederickson.
I'd like to ask for a roll call vote, and I vote yes.
That's good.
All right. Do we have a clerk? Who's going to take the roll? The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Chaudhry, Senator Frederickson,
yes.
Senator Rummel, Senator Saxog, Senator Anderson,
yes.
I'll be right back.
Representative Davids,
yes.
Representative Hansen,
yes.
Representative Morgan,
yes.
Representative Wagenius,
yes.
Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Hasn't passed yet.
Three inside. Just wait. We're Yeah.
Since it's a roll call, we'll be in the minutes. We should try to do that.
I wonder how long everybody says tell what's the having calls go back.
So what we're voting on?
Girl is
okay. So she's
going
to call you. Ask? Eleanor Frederickson voted yes.
Maybe. She voted yes, yeah.
They both voted yes.
How did you vote?
Yes. Everybody's voting yes.
Why are we doing that?
Senator Rommel.
Are you introducing?
Yes.
No.
Surprise, surprise. He was very smart. He by calling the roll call. We can vanish, see.
We can't
We're
move
in
on.
The middle.
Oh.
That was very clever. Got clever people. Pretty clever. Yeah, but she's already voted.
Where'd they go?
The bathroom.
It passed, and we got the majority.
All right.
You got three votes.
The motion prevails. Moving on. Are there other amendments? We have another amendment to we should discuss on this article relating to landfill siting. Thank you.
Senator Brewer sold this for all this stuff. My partner is having to take care of the nation.
Some of the Senate language, but I'm not sure. And then the rest of it is just cleaning up.
Thank you.
That's true.
So, help me understand what are yes, what we finally decide in this thing?
This is kind of complicated. My vote aye?
The motion already prevailed,
Senator
Sachs. I apologize. We didn't keep the board open long enough.
All right.
I would move the Amendment 53.
Representative Bouguinas moves the GK0053 amendment. Mr. Knopf, could you explain that?
Madam Chair, members, maybe I'll just give a brief explanation of it. If you remember on the walkthrough, it was pretty hard to tell in the comparison, but the Senate really and House, the language was mostly the same. There were two instances where they were very substantively different. The rest of it was all technical. And what this does is adopts the Senate technical differences, but it adopts the House substantive difference. So if you look on, the best way to show that is on 1.35, the Senate had deleted prohibit solid waste disposal and inserted basically criteria for siting. So that's one place where it was different. And then in 2.22, if you look on the amendment, 2.22, the Senate had deleted to prohibit areas and had the criteria for siting instead. And so what this does is it adopts it has the House substantive changes, but continues with the Senate kind of improvements. It keeps the work of Mr. Watson and myself in here. Madam Chair, otherwise everything else was identical. And so what this does, it takes all of the language from the solid waste provisions that were in the bill, the identical provisions and the technical change in the Senate, but the House substantive difference, and puts it into one amendment and would insert it into Article 4.
Thank you, Mr. Knopf. And Representative Bouguinas, on the siting of landfills, this would basically keep current law, correct?
Yes.
All right. All right, any further discussion on the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Anything else on Article 4? Did we have a motion on Article 4?
Chair, I'll move item Article 4.
Thank you.
Senator, as amended.
Senator Frederickson moves adoption of Article 4 as amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Article 5, is that the reorganization? No, what's next? Oh, that's 5. Okay.
We have Article 5.
Yes, we should have we should have Article 5 energy. Oh, here it comes. Okay.
I don't have Article
5.
Okay.
So tell me, there was this 10:30.
Yeah, we'll do that at the end. Oh my gosh. Wow, it got bigger. All right, but she's going to explain the whole thing.
One. They're too smart.
Doyle. Okay. All right. If that's been passed out, Ms. Doyle Fontaine.
Madam Chair and members, this is
the energy article. This has been posted out on the internet, so this is kind of a newer version than some of these other articles. The section one is the Legislative Energy Commission assessment apportioning, making some changes that were suggested by the Department of Commerce, and this was a floor amendment offered by Senator Rosen. Section two is CASC language. This is from House File 3033. Section three is also from House File 3033. It's a Senator Tomasoni and Representative Rukavina. This is a rebate program for solar photovoltaic modules. And the changes that have been made to this program are that the program is now going to be transferred for to Xcel for running the program instead of the Department of Commerce. We've adopted, or we have, the language in front of you is House language. It was a little, some slight changes in some definitions and systems that are not exceeding 40 kilowatts instead of 100 as it was in the Senate version. We added some NABCEP language on page 95, line 34, to include reviewed or and approved that was suggested. This also keeps this at $5 per watt of installed generating capacity. And then in conjunction with transfer of the program to Xcel, the money, the rebate program funding is going to be transferred to allocated to a separate account, and then any remaining balances that have not been given out as rebates after in 2015 will be returned to the RDF fund. Section four is incorporating the
I'm
green.
Sorry, excuse me, sorry. Representative Davids. When she's done with the whole thing, no problem.
Section four incorporates the concept of green chemistry into the definition of green economy. This is Senator Dibble, Senate File 2490. And it is in a couple of other places, but we're keeping it in this article as well. Section 5 is, and this is Sections 5, 6, and 8, are from Senator Anderson and Representative Hilty Bill, Senate File 3051, regarding inverted block rates. And this is one of the bills that was, there were a few bills that were added for some energy policy provisions, but I'll be going through those as I continue.
And maybe I should just comment that there were a number of bills that ended up not making it into an omnibus bill on the energy policy side. So the chairs on both sides of the energy committees ask us to incorporate bills into here that had already passed. They've all passed the Senate and in the House are in various stages.
Okay. Continuing on to Section 7 on page 99, this is a Senator Scogin, Representative Eakin bill, and it is advanced determination of prudence for public utilities for environmental projects. This passed the Senate. This is Senate File 3126. As I recall from some information received from Mr. Jarofsky, all of these bills that were added passed the Senate. They didn't all pass the House. And if you need votes, I have those as well. Section 8 is, as I mentioned earlier, is related to the inverted block rates, and this is the Anderson and Hilty bill. Section 9 is a PUC supplemental staffing assessment, and this is for $800,000 per year for supplemental staffing to the PUC. And as I understand it, the way this is written, it could be line item vetoed. And just to let you know, even though it's in statutory language, it could still be vetoed.
I'll just interrupt for a moment and just say we did have discussions with the governor, and this issue was raised at the very, just in the last couple of days as a concern for the governor. And so the language change, it allows the PUC to bring more staff on board. And this was
from a bill that Representative Hilty and Senator Prentner-Solon authored and passed through committees, and we had strong support for it in the Senate, and I know the House chair also feels very strongly that the PUC is very understaffed and has a great deal of responsibility. So it's in the bill, but it is changed to an appropriation.
Madam Chair and members, we're on page 101. This is section 9. This was in the Senate bill as it came into conference. So this was not an added item.
Right.
Section 10 is separate metering for group homes. This was a Prentner-Solon Hilty bill, Senate file 2971, House file 3009. Section 11 on page 102, this provision was a Senator Rest, a Mike Nelson bill. This allows the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners to purchase energy under forward pricing mechanisms. Section 12 is the wind and solar business entity participation for Hennepin County. This was Senate file 2826 that passed in the Senate. It's the Senator Dibble and Representative Dabney bill. On page 103, sections 13 to 16, they all relate to the St. Paul Minneapolis Energy Program. This would now allow commercial and industrial to be included. This was Senate file 3040, Senator Anderson's bill, and also Senator Sheldon Johnson on the House side. So we're going to sections 13, 14, 15, and 16. That's that particular bill. Section 17 on page 105 is simply a technical fix. This was reappropriating some money from the Green Jobs Task Force, and we just needed to add that it needs to be reappropriated to the Commissioner of Commerce on line 105.28. On page 106, section 18, this is similar to adding the commercial industrial buildings bill that I just mentioned, but this is for smaller cities. And this was Senator Skoy, Representative Saylor bill. It passed in the Senate, Senate file 3124. Section 19, there are a couple of provisions that I will, the next three provisions actually kind of relate to the same topic. And this is from a Senator Berglund, Representative Clark bill, Senate file 1537, that passed in the Senate. And this is relating to certificate of need for urban transmission line. And then Section 20 requires a report. It's related to this transmission line that we'll be going through, but also looking at some renewable innovative energy storage projects and renewable energy in this particular neighborhood that the transmission line would be going through. So that Section 20 is also from the Berglund Clark bill. And then Section 21 would appropriate money for that study. And coming into the conference, the Senate appropriated $80,000, and the House had it at $100,000, and we met in the middle at $90,000 for this study. And the repealer deals with Senate file 3040. This is some old language from 1981, and this was the program to include commercial and industrial for Minneapolis and St. Paul.
I'm sorry, what was the repealer? I missed that.
The repealer is from Senate file 3040. That was your bill on the commercial industrial.
Oh,
and this is repealing some old law.
Got it. Thank you. All right, so we now have become sort of an omnibus energy bill, but we're only taking things that have passed and moved forward. And were requested by the chairs. Okay, Ms. Taylor, had your hand up?
It's been brought to our attention that there's a few technical corrections that need to be made on page 109.
109?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead, please.
On line 109.4, instead of section 1, it should be section 17.
19.
19?
Section 19?
19, sorry about that. And then on 109.6, instead of section 2, it would be section 20 then?
29?
20.
20.
Yep.
Okay.
Then 109.7, delete this is a one-time appropriation and is available until expended.
Delete that whole sentence?
That stays. That stays.
Sorry.
That stays.
Mr. Soderberg?
Madam Chair, the one-time appropriation would stay. The only changes are on the technical because this, the original, or what you see in the document is from the bill itself, and this is just making the internal reference changes consistent with this document. So the two changes would be on line 109.4. Instead of section 1, it would be section 19, and then line 109.6, instead of section 2, would be section 20.
And what about this is a one-time appropriation?
That stays in the bill.
But you put a period after appropriation?
Nope.
Or the whole thing stays in the bill? Okay, so those are just those two number section changes. All right, would someone like to move?
So moved.
Representative Davids moves those technical changes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Mr. Jurofsky.
Madam Chair, I have, I guess, what I call a suggestion, not really a correction, for your consideration. On page 95, line 34, where it says must be installed or reviewed and approved, it might be a good idea to put in two commas, one after installed and one after approved, to make it more understandable.
Okay,
what
that
we're
makes
doing.
Sense. Just to clarify, it's sort of one or the other. Mm-hmm. Someone like Representative David makes the comma motion on that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
On a roll.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And since I'm on a roll here, I do have first of all, a few comments. As you stated, this has become the omnibus energy bill, and I'm very concerned about the direction we're going here with this. Yes, these things have been heard in the Senate, but they have not. Some of them have not been heard in the House, and I really think it's inappropriate to make this thing a omnibus energy bill when that's not. We haven't had the public testify on the House side. I'm very concerned about on page 100, section 8, and then going on to 101. If you look at section 8, what it says, Madam Chair, we're talking about such as an inverted block rates in which lower energy prices are made available to lower usage residential customers. I think if this would have gone through the House and had some testimony, it would not have gone this far. Because if you think about the possibilities here, we're saying that if you have a low-income, poor, disadvantaged person that uses a lot of energy, they're going to be paying higher rates. And I think that would be very unfortunate to slip this in here at the last second in the dark of night in a smoke-filled room to do this. And so, Madam Chair, with all due respect, and if I could ask staff, whose provision was this?
Well, Mr. Representative Davids, let me answer the first part of that question because it was my bill in the Senate.
It's not looking good here right
now. And I don't. I would like to have staff tell us where it's at in the House. I know. I assume it was passed out of committee in the House, correct? Mr. Eloff's nodding his head, and so there was testimony. Oh, Representative Morgan, can you speak to the House?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I understand it, it was heard in committee in the House. It was moved out of committee in the House. The language was moved to this portion of the bill to address some concerns, but it has been heard and passed out of committee in the House, as I've been informed.
And Representative Davids, let me just clarify that this provision, number one, is a broad policy statement. It's not a mandate of any kind or a requirement of any kind. It is under a section that states our energy conservation goals are to achieve energy savings through different strategies, which could include this. And so that is all it's intended to do is to suggest that this is an option to consider. And I want to be clear that what inverted block rates do is just allows, if a utility wants to, and some utilities in Minnesota are already doing this. I believe Minnesota Power has a program like this in place. There may be another utility I'm forgetting right now. And it just simply allows if you have you know, your elderly grandmother living by herself in a small home, and whether it doesn't matter what her income level is, but if she's very frugal and doesn't have a big flat-screen TV or five computers and is very careful about using a small amount of energy, a utility might want to offer the ability for someone like that to pay a little bit lower rate for their electricity as a reward for being very frugal and using less energy. So it's an option. It would be offered by a utility. It would be approved by the Public Utilities Commission. It's not any kind of a requirement. So I don't think you need to worry too much about this. And we did discuss all of the bills that are on this list with a representative from the governor's office because we wanted to make sure there were no red flags. And as I mentioned before, the only issue, I mean, we've had discussion with the governor's office about two things in this energy. Well, we've talked about a lot of things, but the concerns, as I read it, are number one. The number one is the Public Utilities Commission staffing was their item that rose above anything else, and they didn't express concerns about any of these bills.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I, too, am concerned about my elderly grandmother, who doesn't use much electricity until she finds out she has cancer and has cancer treatments and hooked up to all sorts of things in her home using more electricity. So, but as I look at it further, it is a suggestion rather than putting that in. But I still am concerned about the path we've taken on this article with a lot of things that maybe were in House committees, but that doesn't mean much to me since I'm not currently on the Energy Committee. I didn't get the chance to look at this, and I'm very concerned about this. Did I make a motion?
No.
Okay, I'm not. I'll withdraw my motion that I didn't make. So with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Davis, and I appreciate your statement. And I guess this is something that was decided at above my pay grade, and so I'm willing to be the home for homeless bills upon request. And I guess that's what we're being asked to do. So I appreciate everyone's cooperation on that. All right. Anything else on the energy article?
Okay. Sure, I'd move adoption of Article 5.
Thank you. Senator Frederickson moves adoption of Article 5, I think, as amended. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Do you want to make the reward? That's the last thing. Yeah, we're almost done. We're going to be done in 5 minutes. I promise. Just hold the board. Do they want us to finish our conference committee or not? I think the only remaining, there's two other articles that were in the Senate bill, the lands bill, which has not passed the House yet, and the reorganization bill. The reorganization provision was Representative Mary Olson's provision that she's worked very hard on for 2 years, and there was no comparable provision in the House. I had suggested a scaled-back version of that reorganization advisory committee that would just be a small task force just made up of a couple of senators and a couple of representatives. And I thought we could at least entertain a motion to consider that. Senator Chaudhry, anything you want to?
I'll move that.
All right. This is something that received broad bipartisan support in the Senate and went through a lot of committees, and Senator Olson is very passionately concerned about trying to do a better job of delivering services to the public and our natural resource agencies, and that's really the reason for this process that she has proposed. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, I guess maybe what I'd like to do is never mind. I'll vote. No. We'll just do the 850. I'll move the 850.
Do you want to move the original article? You can do whatever you like.
No, I think just the 850.
All right. Any further discussion on the 850 amendment? Does everyone have that? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. I thought we could finish, but we still need to go through the spreadsheet. Can we do that really fast? We've talked about every appropriation that was
made. There's only two things. Okay.
All right, that's fine. Maybe we should do that first before we get to the spreadsheet. I think, Senator Chaudhry has another motion.
There was,
I would say so.
One of the definitions that maybe didn't get a lot of press, but is still one of the definitions, we referred to it a little bit as 84.02, And I'd like to move the Senate position on that. It's on the side-by-side, it's on page R24.
Which article?
In the side-by-side.
Of, excuse me, of, it's in, it's currently in Article 1.
Maybe, well, maybe we should do a tag team again if people want to go vote while Senator Chaudhary is discussing this. I think this will, we'll talk about this for a couple of minutes, no doubt. And then we'll let you go vote. Tell them to hold the board, please.
I'm having the the statute that this repeals passed out. These are definitions that were passed into law in 2007. They've had a lot of discussion, maybe more so in the Senate. The Senate has passed the repeal of the statute three times this session unanimously, and I think two, maybe more times last session. It's been in... our environment policy bills, it's been in the Senate's bonding bill. What the current statute does is create certain types of eco-type regions. It mandates that that restored native prairie is required to use native prairie plant species originating 25 miles from a county's border within that ecoregion. When we're talking about, as we did earlier, creating definitions in law that were not created by scientists, nor had they really had the input of any scientists, I think this is one of the best examples. In the Senate, we've had extensive testimony in committee in opposition to this bill, or excuse me, in this statute and in favor of the repeal. We've had no testimony presented in favor of retaining this statute. Some of the testimony that we received included testimony from the chair of the plant and plant genetics department at the University of Minnesota, NRCS, Pheasants Forever, various practitioners, and the native seed farmers, people who are really on the ground doing this work, have all really been passionately in favor of repealing this law because it is so prescriptive. Now, since 2007 and some of the controversy surrounding these prescriptions, statutes or various appropriations have been amended to say require a more watered down version of this, beginning with to the extent practicable, local ecotype system, regions and sources should be used. And those have been passing, but I know of no instance where this is actually even used, let alone appropriate. And so it's really become obsolete in addition to inappropriate conservation practice. As I said, this repeal has passed the Senate three times this session, two or three times last session. The repeal is supported by the Native Seed Farmers Association, Pheasants Forever. DNR testified against this. Bowser's testified against this. Conservation technicians have testified against this. And like I said, we're really using different methods now anyway. And this does not prevent other, you know, this does not prevent local ecotype regions from being considered to the extent possible. It does not remove that. And
Senator Chaudhry, do you want to go vote?
You're
the on the pension bill.
Okay.
It's now or never.
All right.
But we can keep talking.
Okay. Well,
we won't vote without
you. That was about
it,
and I'll let others talk while I go vote.
Let me just remind members, this was part of the Senate position that was in our repealer bills that repealed protect, enhance, restore definitions, but we haven't really discussed it in this conference committee, this part of it. So they're not, go ahead. Senator Rummel?
So when we passed the amendment earlier,
it didn't include anything on this.
It didn't include anything on this.
It only included the definitions of protect, enhance, and restore, and the linkage to the funding requirements. So that's why Senator Chaudhry's moving it. Do you want to say anything on the House side, Representative Lagunias?
I was ready, hoping we could just vote, but since Senator Chaudhry isn't here, I would mention that there is a difference of opinion. There's a strong difference of opinion, and I will just make 3 points. There was a lot of support from scientists for these definitions. In fact, we've gotten support from scientists across the nation, and I didn't know this was going to come up. I didn't bring those letters from the scientists from probably some of our best plant scientists in the country support these definitions. That's one thing. Secondly, they're not a mandate. They're descriptive of what a created grassland or a native prairie is. So this is, native prairie is described. The final thing I'd like to say is this was in law before the constitutional amendment passed. So to tell citizens that you voted for a constitutional amendment to protect prairie and then to repeal the definitions of native prairie seems like we are, I don't want to use the word I was thinking of, but I think it's inappropriate under the circumstances, and so I would ask members to vote no.
All right. I guess I'll just state my position briefly. I did vote for the Senate bills that repeal this. I would prefer to have some compromise language. I support having definitions in law and the information about ecotype regions. But I think we did have a lot of testimony in Senator Chaudhry's committee that the 25-mile requirement was impractical. I personally would prefer to see a middle ground on this. And we have come up with some compromise language that's been inserted in our appropriations bill over the last couple of years. So, I think eventually I'd like to see this, if we could come up with some compromise. But that's not going to happen today. So let's just vote.
I'd like a roll call.
Madam Chair, then.
Representative Murphy.
Continue discussion.
Sure.
Senator Chaudhry, you've worked very hard to get people to talk to the House people to repeal the definitions. The definitions that the House people worked on were only protect, enhance, restore. We never ever talked, as you said in your opening remarks, that this definition went into the books in 2007. That was over a year before the constitutional amendment was voted on. Cultural and Outdoor Finance Committee was created in part to deal with the results of the constitutional amendment. The constitutional amendment is the passage of the constitutional amendment by 56% of Minnesotans who
We're talking about restore, enhance, protect is what the people think of when they write their emails. Repeal the definitions. We are not in a position to debate the prairie definitions and mess everything up in people's mind. I offered an amendment that went all the way to repeal. We've taken the vote on that. Let's not mess. Please don't ask us to mess it up with prairie, and so people could leave this room and say, oh, they just repealed three definitions. Please don't get the prairies mixed up at this time. You've waited since 2007. Can you wait another year and then pass it in the bill that it belongs in, not the bill that has to do with the outdoor heritage funding? I realize that some funding is going toward protecting, enhancing, and restoring the prairies. But I implore you, Senator, think about the message that we're sending in this motion.
And Representative Murphy, I believe that in the allocations that we have in here for the Lessard-Sams bill for the heritage funds, we have that compromise language that I mentioned that gives guidance for restoration practices. So this, whether this is here in law or not in law, will not should not affect those appropriations. And so I guess, members, I'm inclined to agree with Representative Murphy that at this point this could upset the apple cart, and we have worked very, very, very hard to move together in a positive direction in a way that we can all really strongly support this bill. And so I'm concerned that this could take away that consensus that is pretty close to a consensus that we've arrived at. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, okay, I can understand the perception issue. I'd be more than willing to withdraw my motion and make the motion to Article 4 instead, the Environment and Natural Resources article, so that there's no confusion.
Senator Chaudhry, I'm not sure if that would make a difference.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
Madam Chair, I think it's unfortunate that this is coming up here. I don't care how many times it's passed in the Senate. This has not been clearly vetted in the House, and I think it's extremely inappropriate to have this motion before us at this time. I agree with Representative Murphy. We've come a long way, and, you know, you push us up to the cliff, just don't push us over, because we're not going over. And with that being said, I would make a motion to table the Chaudhry motion and ask for a roll call.
Well, okay, that motion is not debatable, so I guess that's where we're at.
Madam Chair, I remove the request for roll call, but I would move to table the Chaudhry motion.
All right. Let's just take a voice vote. On the motion to table the amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. All right.
Division.
Division has been requested. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Motion does not prevail.
On that, Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
I want to review a couple of things. If you recall, Representative Murphy, I asked counsel earlier whether 84.02 applies to the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And I guess we could, let me just ask Mr. Knopf again, what is his opinion on that?
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, 84.02 only applies to Chapter 84, especially now that you've removed any cross-reference in Chapter 3. So this just applies to Chapter 84. The council, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, none of that is in Chapter 84, so these do not apply to the constitutional provision, the constitutional amendment language, to any funding from the constitutional amendment. This just does not apply to that.
So, Representative Murphy, my motion is not about the definitions regarding the council or the Outdoor Heritage Fund. This is about environment policy, which we are talking about in this bill. We're talking about lots of things, and just by way of history, this is not a new issue to the House either. This was heard in Representative Eakin's committee. In fact, Representative Eakin was the chief author of this. This is not a new issue to the House. Now, it just hasn't passed the House, and we have provisions on both sides of the chambers like that in this bill as well. So I think it's, as far as the appropriateness goes, I think it falls in line perfectly with everything else we're doing. But to your point, this is not about definitions on the council, but these are important conservation definitions that I think need to be repealed, and I stated why.
Thank you, Senator Chaudhry. And I think absolutely this was part of the Senate bill, and it's certainly within our right to talk about it in this conference committee. We've worked, the Senate and the House have each given a lot, compromised a lot, and I guess my point was let's just move on at this point and take what we've got, which is a really, really strong bill, and not anyway, let's move on. We voted. Representative Hansen.
On a different matter, Senator Anderson, I just want to thank and recognize Senator Fredrickson. I'm not sure if this is his last conference committee, but speaking for myself and I think everybody here, I've worked with him on a number of conference committees, and he provides such a calming, good role and technical role in reading everything and finding all the little things that are important. And speaking for myself, I'm going to miss that, and I've enjoyed working with him, and I think everybody has. And you've served the people of Minnesota well, and just thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Hansen, and we'll have lots more opportunities to embarrass you, Senator Fredrickson, before you leave town next week.
We won't have the opportunity, so it was fun.
Absolutely. We appreciate that very much and agree with you.
That needs to be voted on.
I thought we tabled your amendment.
No, that was the motion to table was defeated.
It passed. Did I say it wrong? It passed. The motion to table the amendment prevailed.
Correct.
On a division and on a voice vote. So we're...
I don't believe it had three votes on this side, did it?
Yes, it did. No, I'm not sure if it did. I'm sorry.
There were three no votes.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I wasn't counting correctly. I think I saw two hands up over here. So I think it did prevail.
Because you just need a majority.
Do I need to clarify the division?
You just need a majority for
three. We just revolt.
I guess we need three on each side. I guess that's... And I'm used to chairing my committee and just counting the hands, so I may have miscounted. So we can vote again. On the motion to table, all in favor, raise your hand. The chair votes aye. Okay. The motion does not prevail. All righty. Senator Chaudhry, on the motion, do you still want a roll call vote? All right. On Senator Chaudhry's motion, clerk will take the roll.
Senator Anderson?
No.
Senator Fredrickson?
Yes.
Senator Chaudhry?
Yes.
Senator Saxhog?
Yes.
Senator Rummel?
No.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Davids?
No.
Thank you. The motion on a vote, whatever, the motion does not prevail. I am too tired to count. Sorry, members. If my math is wrong, please tell me.
Well, Madam Chair, there are three aye votes on the Senate side and zero aye votes on the House side.
Thank you. The motion does not prevail. All right. Further discussion? Did somebody have their hand up? Let's do the spreadsheet. Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, members, I'll go through this fast. Spreadsheet's been handed out. Article 1 of the spreadsheet that was the same in the House and the Senate, that's the appropriations for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, so there's no change there. $58.9 million. Second page is Article 2 for clean water. The changes here as the reflects the changes that they describe when they went through the language. 145. They added the language added $145,000 to pay for basically the carve out of the old car BMPs. $600,000 is rulemaking, which is a little bit less than the Senate had 615. The House had 310. The House position on the St. Louis River and Duluth Harbor of $200,000. $5 million of transfer of groundwater money from PCA. On both sides. Then in PNR, you take that $5 million and $4 million of it is appropriated in 2011, and then a base amount of $1 million is set aside or set up for 2012. The Met Council planning is $400,000 down from $500,000 in the Senate. Under Bowser, $1 million for a modified version of the Star Lakes provision that was in the Senate, which had originally $200,000. $100,000 that was originally $200,000 in the Senate. And then the three items that were in the House bill dealing with different grants are all a little bit lower than what the House level, so it's $400,000 for riparian buffers, $400,000 for watershed district grants, and $300,000 for wellhead protection easement. So the total spending of new clean water money is $1.545 million, which is a little bit more than the Senate and $880,000 less than the House, so that the fund balance will be a little bit less than 5%. Under Article 3, which is Article 4 now in the bill, Environment and Natural Resources, basically the House position on utility crossing fee, that number may change once we get new estimates from the PNR, so the $3,000 may be adjusted a little bit. Appropriate court surcharge is a Senate position of one-time funding. $60,000 for a canoe route, which was on both sides. Moose Trail was a Senate position, $100,000. Ecological classification system was on both sides. And then the State Parks and Trails for both DNR and Metro Parks was a Senate position, $300,000 each. No appropriation for reorg that was in a Senate bill. Then there's no real new cost for legislative auditor in the bill either. Last page, it's Article 5, Energy. We have the RDF money set aside for the solar rebates, $2 million in 11, $4 million in 12, $5 million in 13. There's also money in the, or language in the bill that sets aside money in fiscal year 14 and 15. $90,000 was a compromise for the comprehensive plan study. No assessment for the certificate of need. The House had an assessment for that that was going to Commerce and to PUC. That is not in the. Then the last item here is the supplemental staffing for PUC of $800,000 that was in the Senate bill.
All right. Any questions on the spreadsheet? Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Mueller. And all of these appropriations are contained in the articles we've already adopted?
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, yes. We don't have to adopt the
question. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, are you ready for a motion?
I believe so.
Madam Chair, I would move that we direct staff to compile the previously adopted articles 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 with the discretion that they can make technical adjustments to make that combination, and that be our conference committee report, and that we recommend it to pass.
All right. On Senator Fredrickson's motion, is there any further discussion? Should we just vote?
Yes,
you talk. All right, since it's in front of us. All right. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails unanimously. Representative Murphy wanted to be recognized briefly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, but mostly I'm talking to everyone in the room. We've worked hard. I think the product that's before us is a reflection of that. I appreciate the input that we've received, and we welcome continued input from people that have a lot to say but have not given public testimony. Please reconsider your positions and come to the the meetings when you can and give public testimony so it's always on the record so we have the benefit of the voices of Minnesota. I think that the people of Minnesota treasure their vote on the 3ACE funding. I think they are welcoming of new projects of conservation across the state in the outdoor heritage, in the clean water, in the parks and trails, and the arts funds. Next year, we are going to take the second step, the big second step, because it will be the second biennium, and we will have 25-year plans. We will have strategies worked out. The people will know how they can apply for grants. The people will still have hope because we have done a good job last year and this year. I think that we should not look back except for what we've learned. And we should go forward together and hear the voices of Minnesota in all aspects. And next year, our bill is even going to be better and better. And in 25 years, your grandchildren and my great nieces and nephews and their children will say, let's keep going. Let's keep it on. Let's go fishing. Let's go hunting. Let's go biking. Let's go walking. Or let's just sit and appreciate all of Minnesota and the changes that have taken place because of this bill and this amendment. And let's close our mouth when we have less to say than good.
On that note, I cannot top those very eloquent statements, Representative Murphy. Thank you for that really positive and wonderful comments. I appreciate that very much, and I want to thank everyone for their incredible hard work. I think we've put together something we can all be extremely proud of, and thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you as chair. Yes. Senator Rummel.
And as one of the members of the conference committee, I'd like to congratulate both our chairs for the orderly and reasonable way in which this whole process was conducted. I think you did a magnificent job in working with your members and the rest of us. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. With that, the conference committee is adjourned.
Yes. Good job. Good job.